fourth case, Manny versus Central States Fund. Mr. Boggle?
May it please the court. Your Honors, I am Edward Bogle. I represent Mr. Manny, who is the plaintiff and the appellant in this matter. At the outset, on behalf of Mr. Manny, I would like to thank the court for granting us an expedited schedule and hearing in this matter. I'd also like to say that Mr. Manny and his family are before you this morning in open court with me. Your Honor, I'd also like to point out at the beginning of my argument what this case is and is not about. This case is not about a lazy man who's trying to get something for nothing, a man who is trying to get his benefits plan to pick up the tab for some kind of extreme makeover. What this case is about is a man who is sick, who is ill, and who needs assistance from the one place where he thinks he can get it, which is his health benefits plan. That said, Your Honors are familiar with the facts and with the things that have been laid forth in the briefs. So there's one main point that I'd like to examine in a little bit more depth. As I prepared for this, reading the pleadings both before the lower court and this court, an issue seems to have been taking up steam as we've gone through each round of successive briefing. That issue concerns which doctors, if any, are to be listened to or examined, and how Central States, in making its determinations on benefit coverage, looks at the evidence that's put before it. And I contend that the way Central States, in fact, looked at the evidence was both arbitrary and capricious, and violated the standards that ERISA lays out for it. Again, let me tell you what I'm not arguing here. I am not arguing that there is some kind of treating physician rule in ERISA cases. Nord versus Black and Decker has made it absolutely clear that that's just not the way it works. So don't let Central States try to cast my argument in that light, because that's just not what it is. The second thing that I want to tell you that we're not arguing is I'm not asking the courts to resolve conflicting medical
problems. The problem you have is that the plan says that the trustees are entitled to interpret the plan documents, and you have an ambiguity. So it says, plan shall not pay any charge incurred for treatment or service connected with surgery performed for cosmetic purpose. That's fine for you because this isn't cosmetic. But then it goes on to say this limitation includes surgery for obesity, and it specifies particular procedures. And then the plan description uses surgery for obesity as an example of cosmetic surgery. So don't you have an ambiguity? And if you have an ambiguity, then isn't the trustee's interpretation conclusive?
Your Honor, the leader of our argument was that, no, it's not ambiguous. And I'll point out to you that you've obviously got it in front of you. What the plan says is, including but not limited to, any surgery primarily.
Look, of course, we know that, yes. But look, you have also this limitation includes surgery for obesity, purpose and result of which is primarily to remove adipose tissue. Well, of course, that's what surgery for obesity does. It removes fat. So there's a conflict, it seems to me, or a tension between that and the more general provision about excluding surgery performed for cosmetic service. It's as if the plan somehow has defined all surgery for obesity, regardless of the objective, as cosmetic, which of course is what the summary plan description does even more clearly. So that, I think, is your problem.
Your Honor, with all due respect, I don't think it is a problem, because this surgery we've made clear, and again, the record shows very clearly that the purpose of this surgery is not to improve Mr. Manny's physical appearance. And in fact, I might point out that there's...
You're not focusing on this provision A, surgery for obesity, any other surgical procedure, the purpose and result of which is primarily to remove adipose tissue. Well, that is the nature of the operation he wants. And why isn't that excluded?
Because, again, the primary purpose of this operation, as has been made clear in the record, is going
to remove
to
fat tissue.
It is going to be
it is to remove fat tissue. That is the, that is what the operation is about.
That is what the operation.
But I'm just. What do you think is the force of this provision A? This limitation includes but is not limited to surgery for obesity, et cetera. What do you think that does, if anything?
I think what the language does is creates a regime under this plan whereby an individual like Mr. Manny is entitled to surgery.
I'm asking about the limitation. The limitation is about what he is not entitled to. And my question is, what do you think this limitation means? Why is this in there? Why didn't they just stop after plans shall not pay any charge, you know, incurred for surgery performed for cosmetic purposes? Why did they go on and add this limitation?
Because I think that this plan purposely tries to set out the kind of, I guess you'd call it an exception, or the kind of space for Mr. Manny to come in, the kind of space for an individual who is looking for this surgery.
You're still
to
not
cure
telling
other
me what the force of this provision, this limitation includes but is not limited to, what the force of that is.
I'll try to answer. I'm afraid that I'm beginning to feel that I don't fully understand what you're asking.
It's a very simple question. What do you think is the force, the effect, the meaning of this statement? This limitation includes but is not limited to surgery for obesity and any other surgical procedure, purpose and result of which is primarily to remove adipose tissue. What does that mean?
They are trying to exclude from coverage gastric bypass or other kind of cosmetic type surgeries, the sole primary purpose of which is just to improve appearance. Let's call it pure cosmetic surgery.
That's not what it says.
I believe that's what it says. I think that's the importance of the words primarily. You wouldn't have put that in there. They didn't have to put that in there. They could have just made it a blanket exception. The language could have said including
but
any surgery for obesity at all.
The entire purpose is to remove fat. That's the entire purpose of this operation.
Mr. Manny's doctors put into the record that the entire purpose of this operation is not to remove fat, but by removing the fat.
The purpose of the operation is to remove fat. The reason for wanting to remove fat is to improve his health. That's for sure. But the purpose of the operation is to remove fat. That's what I'm stuck with.
Well, you're just reversing. You say the purpose of the operation is to improve his health. The fact that it removed the fat to do that is incidental to the primary purpose, which is to improve his health.
That's what I'm arguing, Your Honor.
That's the
primary purpose.
So it's a question of definition in there. It's semantic. Primary means the health, or does primary mean removing the fat, and secondarily, in the process of protecting his health, you remove the fat.
That's precisely it. And I think that this, to the extent that this provision is.
Would you say that the position taken by the ERISA people is unreasonable, or you think that to suggest that their definition of primary is primary, which has the incidental effect of improving his health, as opposed to primary, which is to improve itself and incidentally removes the fat? Do you think they're wrong in picking one as against the other?
I think they are, and the reason.
But I mean, our definition of how we review it is, are they arbitrary and capricious, if I recall correctly?
I think they have been arbitrary and capricious, and we argue because of how I view and how Mr. Manny views the plain language of this plan, and additionally what ties into that are some of the additional arguments that we've made concerning how they review the evidence. For example, you know, the importance of the physician evidence is it explains what the purpose of the mm-hmm. surgery is, and they present nothing to respond to what the purpose and eventual result of this surgery will be. We've got it on the record. They've got nothing. There's a just to conclude, Judge Posner, you yourself wrote an opinion not so very long ago in a case called Hawkins versus First Union. And you said you found that it was arbitrary and capricious for a plan to deny benefits when all they had on the record was scraps of evidence. I put it to you that they don't even have
scraps. This isn't an issue of evidence. This is an issue of interpretation.
Right.
Well, I don't have any doubt that he wants the procedure for perfectly good medical reasons. I don't think that's an issue at all. The relevance of Buckingham's testimony is, you know, whether this is an established procedure and so forth. But there's the prior question whether the trustees can reasonably conclude that there's an absolute. Now, maybe that's not their position, but it seems to me they could take this limitation language and say, well, we have an absolute exclusion for obesity surgery.
Your Honor, I'm over my time.
You may respond.
I would just respond, Your Honor, by saying that I think the language is clear. Mr. Manny understood the language of the plan to be clear when he started to pursue this avenue to achieve this surgery. All of the Attorney General's office thought it clear what this plan language meant and what he deserved under it. I think it's clear, and quite frankly, the only people who don't think it's clear is Central State. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Carey.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. Francis Carey for Central States. If it please the court, counsel started by saying that the case wasn't about his client trying to get some type of a benefit from the plan willy-nilly. I would say, Judge, on the other side of this, this is an ERISA plan. It's a Taft-Hartley trust. These are nonprofit trustees. It's not an insurance company where the trustees are trying to say, we're going to try to hold down costs and make money for shareholders by excluding perfectly proper procedures.
Is it your view that there's an absolute exclusion for these, you know, gastric stapling, gastric bypass, and so on, these other obesity operations? Is that the view?
Yes, Judge, there's an exclusion for obesity surgery. They give an example.
So, period, no matter how urgently needed it is for purely health problems? Is that the view?
I think that's the case, Judge. The
does it make any sense from the plan standpoint? Because you'd think if this surgery could improve his health, it would save the plan a lot of expense in treating him for diabetes and heart disease and all these other things, joint problems.
Well, Judge, you mentioned Dr. Buckingham, that you wouldn't give a lot of credence to it. But I would say that Dr. Buckingham has stated consistently throughout all the cases I cited in the brief going back to the Exxon case.
I didn't say his wouldn't give credence. I just meant that was a separate issue.
Okay.
It was the issue whether it's really a useful operation, separate from whether it's
excluded. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
But I
think Dr. Buckingham brings up the problem is that Central State's experience in these type of operations is that there's tremendous complications. We cite that Strader case here. It was a Central States case from Judge Clark in Missouri where Linda Strader went in and had the surgery, ended up having $250,000 worth of complications. Dr. Buckingham has stated that there's a high incidence of complications. It's a very dangerous surgery. And as a matter of fact, that it's his experience in what he stated in this case and throughout all the cases we cited in the briefs that the people typically gain weight, again, even after they have the surgery. The surgery, as you see in these other cases, that Livingston case out of Michigan, the surgery falls apart. It has to be redone. There's all these problems. Now, Mr. Manny does, I believe, in his own mind, I'm certain he thinks that this will solve his diabetes or these other problems. Central States isn't saying, we're not saying we're not going to pay for a prescription for a diabetes. We're not going to pay if you go in to have a problem with your lungs or medicine for hypertension. Central States is saying that the trustees have fiduciary duties, as you well know. Trustees have fiduciary duties to interpret the plan consistent with the language in the plan. That's what they did in this case, and I think that's what the district court found. there's no question that the arbitrary and capricious standard applies. I didn't dwell on it particularly in the briefs. Firestone, I think, pretty much gives the answers when there's doubtful language. If Your Honor believes that it's doubtful language, then the trustees, if they're at all reasonable, they have to be upheld. I think what this case ultimately is about is that the district court looked at looked at the administrative record. There was a full administrative record here. There was three letters from Dr. Fenapali put in the record. There was the Dr. Kane, the doctor who had performed the surgery, Dr. Buckingham's review. There was the plan documents put into evidence and the specific provisions. Judge Norgal looked at this and he says, okay, I'm going to start out with the application of the arbitrary and capricious standard in this case. I'm going to say under ex-bom the trustees determine the proper construction of their own plan, and there's no argument in this case, by the way, that they've ever construed this plan any differently. You can see that as you read those six or eight gastric bypass obesity surgery cases that are cited in the brief. And then there's under Black and Decker, under ex-bom, there's a two-step analysis Judge Norgal had to look at. He said Judge Norgal had to look at, did the trustees make an informed decision, and then did they communicate their decision reasonably? That seems to be the test for reviewing these type of things under an application of the arbitrary.
Ms. Carey, let's talk about reasonableness for just a second, if we could, because
yes,
I appreciate what the trustee's responsibility is. But this language, which speaks to the exclusion of the gastric bypass, and let me just say the exclusion speaks to limiting or excluding surgery for obesity.
Yes.
That exclusion is language under the primary language of a covered individual shall not be entitled to payment on a claim for benefits for any charge incurred for treatment or service connected with cosmetic procedure.
That's correct.
Now, would you agree that if your position is, if we would accept it, that this plan would be better drafted if the shall not be entitled to language in that section included any surgery primary for obesity? So isn't it a fair reading that the preamble language or the if you will, the controlling language about not being entitled sets a tone of cosmetic, right?
Well, Judge, I would respectfully state that when you look at the provision in its whole, it says provision connected with cosmetic surgery.
Right.
Now, it has a lot of lists of cosmetic procedures, mammoplasties, rhinoplasties,
right,
and so forth. And it also says surgery for obesity, they're considering a cosmetic procedure. They make it as clear as they can, I think, by putting in the fact that if there's any doubt about what we're talking about, these gastric-type operations, there's a number of them where people go into gastric stapling operations.
I understand. I understand. I'm just talking about a fair read here. If you were to win this case, wouldn't you advise a redrafting of this?
What you're suggesting, Judge, probably makes sense. You're suggesting that trustees put out gastroplasty, gastric bypass.
I'm suggesting a covered individual should not be entitled to, and then fill in surgery primarily for obesity, period, or whatever else. And then you can have a cosmetic thing. But isn't the theme of the covered individual language speaking to cosmetic?
The theme suggests cosmetic, but then it suggests surgery for obesity. And surgery for obesity is specified. And I call Your Honor's attention to the administrative record. All the things that were submitted by Mr. Manning's surgeon and by Mr. Manning himself, and I went through them. But as you read through them, almost every single document in the record makes clear that this is surgery for obesity. Judge Posner.
Well, I don't think there's any question on that. I don't think that's an issue, is it?
And if you accept that, Judge, and if you accept the proposition that these trustees are not operating with a conflict of interest, which are not, they're Taft-Hartley trustees.
Nobody suggests that. I think what they're talking about is whether or not you think the primary purpose is for that. And if the primary purpose is for health purposes, does it fall within this cosmetic exception?
The exclusion the way I read the exclusion, Judge, and the way it's been interpreted consistently is surgery for gastric bypass is excluded as surgery for obesity. It comes within the cosmetic exclusion. Judge Flom suggests that the plan could be drafted better. I understand what he's saying. I also state that the trustees have interpreted this plan consistently. They don't have a conflict of interest in doing this. And under an application of the arbitration...
If you look, the briefs aren't very... We don't seem to have the whole plan.
Oh, yes. You do have the whole plan
in the record,
appendix.
Is it in the brief somewhere?
It's in the appendix, Judge.
Oh,
your suggestion, Gary, this isn't a gotcha clause. This is a reasonable expenditure clause. I mean, you're the trustees, we should look at this, that they're just, they've got a, looking at the economics of it, it'd be irresponsible, or it is responsible, to put it that way, to interpret it the way you suggest it should be read.
Well, I think it's two things. I think it's a plan design clause, and as you know, trustees of health and welfare plans have wide discretion. Black and Decker says that. The court says that health and welfare benefits don't vest. Trustees can design the plan. The trustees design that plan consistently. The same language is in the plan. If you go back to Expom and these other cases going back to 1990, where the trustees have always refused to pay for gastric bypass surgery based upon their interpretation of the plan and based upon the administrative record. I don't think that this case is really much different than Expom or any of the other cases that have been cited in the briefs. That's how the trustees have interpreted this plan.
Can you point me to the provision in the plan? I'm looking at the appendix now.
The page number in the appendix, Your Honor, is page 74.
Okay, so 74, so you have the exclusion, and then you have the exclusion includes but is not limited to, and then it has obesity, it has mammoplasty, I guess breast enlargement, and I notice under B, augmentation mammoplasty, unless part of reconstructive surgery for the treatment of malignancy of the breast, necessitates approval of portion of all. Okay, so some of these things have exceptions, right?
Well, and I guess that's what I argued.
Some have exceptions, because another one, for the radical keratectomy or keratotomy, unless the patient has myopia of such a severe degree, it can't be corrected by lens. So isn't it part of your argument that for some of these so-called cosmetic procedures, there are exceptions,
yes,
but there isn't one for obesity, there isn't one for facelift, for cauliflower ears, there you have to, so your position would be for cauliflower ears, it's absolute, even if you could show that the cauliflower ears were interfering with your hearing or something like
or
that.
Or tattoo removal. And I make the argument in the brief, Judge Posner, that if the trustees wanted to allow an exception to this exclusion, like for the cancer lady or the breast reconstruction, they could do it. But it's bottom line, I think it's a plan design issue. It's been consistent. I'm way over. It's been consistently interpreted. And thank you very much.
Vogel, your time expired. We let Scary have a little extra time. You may have a minute if you wish to reply or rebut.
Your Honor, to tell you the truth, I don't really have anything to add that I'd like to, so if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Wasn't his point kind of telling that as you go down the actual plan, you have exceptions for the breast enlargement and for the operation on the eye, but you don't have it for some other things, like tattoo removal. Now, you could have an argument, well, the tattoo is infected, that's why I have to have it removed, not that it's just unsightly. And yet it seems clear that there is no exception for that. If there were a general health exception to the list, then you wouldn't need those unless clauses for the breast and the surgery and the eye surgery, right?
That's true, but what I would argue, Your Honor, is what I've said all along, that the safe harbor, if you will, in what we're in sub A of this is this primarily for obesity. the primary effect, the primary purpose. And I would argue, as I
say the same with the tattoo removal. You'd say, well, the purpose of the removing the tattoo is not to remove the tattoo. That's just instrumental. The purpose is to prevent infection.
Well, the tattoo language, it doesn't say primarily to remove the tattoo. It says we're not going to pay to remove the tattoo, period. And I would argue that...
No. But that first one about the obesity surgery, the point is it's not an exclusive list of procedures. Gastric bypass, gastric stapling, etc., and any other procedure, the primary purpose of which is to remove fat. All of these procedures, their primary purpose is to remove fat. The reason for having it is not that you want to be beautiful, it's you want to be healthy. But you could have the same thing with tattoo removal.
Well, again, to close out, what I'd say is that what the court suggested to Mr. Carey, that there is this sort of cosmetic tone to this, is telling, because that's really what this is about. This is about cosmetic surgery. Mr. May's not looking for cosmetic surgery. He's looking for surgery to help cure these other ailments.
What if the trustees were confronted with a case where it's not clear? In other words, that it probably is both. There's always a health component. And maybe a person's in sales or something, the cosmetic side of it is at play. How would we read their interpretation of the primarily?
In that case, Your Honor, what I think the appropriate analysis, of course, the standard is still arbitrary and capricious. I don't argue that it's not.
Well, that's for sure.
So what is the way that the way to look at it is how do you determine what the benefit seeker is actually seeking? Well, in a case like this, you go back to the record. What's in the record in this case? Letters, evidence, medical evidence, on and on, showing what the purpose, showing what the effect of this is going to be. And that's the way you have to look at it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.